Ago, Pastor, he asked me if I'd bring tonight's lesson, and without any hesitation, I told him I would. I love our pastor. I want to be truly a help to that man. I don't think anybody else here, except Brother Mark, understands what a pastor goes through on a daily, a weekly, a monthly, a yearly basis, problems, concerns, burdens, nothing that I'll understand as much as him. So I just don't ever want to be a discouragement to him. Although I am human and a sinner, I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like most of you. I'd like to talk about a subject tonight, a subject that never gets old, a subject of before and after, a subject that a child of God should visit often and tell others about. I don't believe that there's anything else more important in life than one's own salvation. That's what I'd like to talk about tonight. A personal experience with Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I gave a devotion, and it was a testimony of my salvation. And tonight, I'd like to do that again. I've added more points to it, and I hope you get a blessing out of it. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6 tonight, first of all. John 6 and verse 35. We read in John 6, 35 through 37, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I had to get to that point. I had to come to Jesus. We look at the word testimony. Testimony is defined as a solemn declaration as to the truth of a matter. You know, as a small child, I can remember being raised in church. I believe my parents came here when I was 2 or 3, maybe even younger than that. It's amazing how God reveals himself and works to guilty sinners such as myself. Sure, at a young age, I didn't want to go to hell. That was a place talked about in the Bible where unsaved sinners would go when they died. More specifically described as a lake of fire. If you think about a lake of fire, you know, fire's pretty hot. A lake's pretty big. That's somewhere I didn't want to go. So I watched as others, more often younger than me, came forward to confess that God had saved them. What did God save them from? An eternal punishment of intense heat that burns, not just a day, not just a week or a month or a year. It burns forever and forever. That's a long time. That seemed like a long time to me, and I knew enough, very young, of the need for this salvation experience. At the age of 12, with a pretty good had faith and knowledge, I went forward to give a false profession of faith. A head faith, especially growing up in church, you know just enough. You know enough doctrine. You know enough to convince yourself that you're good enough. That if you die, you know, you'll probably go to heaven. But that's just not the case. At the time, it seemed necessary because, after all, I was getting older. And like I said earlier, others younger than me were being saved. I felt I had to do something. My false profession seemed to make others happy and rejoice for me. But the fact of the matter was that I felt no relief of the fear of dying. The day that comes to everyone at some point in life. You know, no one's going to live forever. There's people that live till they're 80, 90, 100, 120. Methuselah lived till he was 960-some. But it's appointed to everyone to die. I was scared more than ever before. There were some days that I could stuff or suppress the fear of dying without the need of a savior by just keeping busy, doing stuff kids do at that age. But there were times where I would be so afraid, I'd cry myself to sleep. There were times I would come home from school and find no one home, whether they be shopping, my dad's at work. Immediately, thoughts came rushing to my mind. This must be the rapture. God must have come and taken all the saved to heaven. So now what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I'm not saved. I didn't hear the trumpet. I didn't. When the Lord comes back, the saved of earth are going to hear a trumpet, his voice. I didn't hear any of that. So what do I do? I needed some confirmation, and I needed it now. The only way to figure out if the rapture had taken place was to call someone that I knew for sure that would have been taken. Someone that I knew walked with the Lord. Someone that I knew their cornerstone was Jesus. Someone that I knew would definitely be gone up with the Lord. I would call Brother Titus. And then I would hang up when he answered. Oh, what a relief. This unrelenting fear would go on for another 2 years. 2 years from the age of 12 to 14. And like most of you here tonight, there was a time. For me, it was that night. For you, it might have been that morning or that afternoon in your car, at work, with a friend, at church. For me, it was a night so wonderful and special to me. The night of my true salvation. It was a night. It was a night like no other. I was done. There was no more trying to figure out what I was going to do if the rapture took the saved to heaven and left me. I was done. There was no more hoping that during the 7 years of tribulation I might be able to find salvation in. I thought to myself, well, you know, if I'm not saved and the Lord comes back, I know it's going to be 7 years until, you know, he comes back again. I might be saved then, but where am I going to go hear the Word of God at? Where, you know, who's going to preach to me? I didn't have to worry about that anymore. Amen. I needed relief. I needed peace. I was desperate. for an eternal relationship with Jesus. I couldn't figure any of this out on my own. Believe me, I tried. I tried, only to be more and more confused. It wasn't until I cried out to him and told him I couldn't go on anymore. I needed him. Told him that I put all my trust in him. I told him I didn't understand why he would have died on the cross for a sinner like me. I cried to him, I pleaded for that blessed assurance only he could give. That night I came to the end of myself. That night he entered my heart. He gave me that blessed assurance that night. That night was like no other night. You know, the best way I can describe it. Smiles from ear to ear. My crying was stopped. And I felt like I was just floating on top of my bed. I received a peace from fear that night. That fear is gone forever. I haven't been sinless since that night of salvation. In fact, I've traveled many of those roads of regret. I've placed many sinful scars in my life. Now, just because I was raised in church, it wasn't enough to save me. It wasn't because my parents, Art and Gloria, who are faithful members, that wasn't enough to save me. You know, Brother Titus, that wasn't enough to save me. Just because I was a good enough teenager, that wasn't enough. Salvation, it's nothing of yourself. It's nothing. But there's a difference now. Once saved, that Holy Spirit enters your body. You begin to see life in a whole different perspective now. You start getting godly desires like nothing you've ever seen before. You crave for the Word of God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, and 17, Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature with God, dwelling, living inside of us. As we mature in Christ, again these old things are passed away. All things are become new." He gives us godly desires to serve him. You know, there was a long time in my life that I didn't have the desires I have today. I desire to be in the house of the Lord every time the doors are open. I desire to hear the Word of God. I desire so many things of God's wonderful mercy. I can't express it enough. You know, he gives us godly desires. He gives us the desires to serve him, to worship him, to learn more and more about him. Our whole life begins to be saturated by him. We wake up in the morning, he is there. We drive to work, he's right there. We get to work, he's there. As we work, he's there. As we pray in front of our lost co-workers, he's there. We come home from work, He's still there. He's always with us.
Amen.
Simply can't get enough of Him. We want to be more like Him. Our cravings for worshiping Him, they get more and more. They don't get less and less. If you have that Spirit of God dwelling in you, He's going to put a burden on your heart to seek Him, to study His Word. We won't want to put the world before God in any part of our lives. He'll cause you to have a close kinship to those who love the Lord. You know, these desires are all due to what Brother Dennis talked about in his devotion a few weeks ago. A dead soul. That's what I had. That's what I was. A dead soul made alive. A living God now dwelling in our bodies. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." You know, I'm so glad that I made my calling and election sure, because it wasn't right the first time. I wasn't saved. And like many of you here have had similar experiences. You know, you can be a church member on paper for 50 years, 60 years. You can be a song leader. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a pastor. You can be a pastor's wife. And if you don't have that Holy Spirit living within you, if you don't have the desires that I just talked about, 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Because there's, like I said, there's nothing else important, more important in life than to know the Lord has saved you. I'm so glad that He saved me. There are many times that, you know, I think to myself, why me? You know? But I do thank Him. I know that you'll pray for those that aren't saved, that the Lord would choose to save them someday. You know, last time I gave a lesson, the pastor's mother had died, and I asked a few men if they would speak about how they dealt with lost loved ones or even unsaved loved ones dying, and how their faith helped them get through it. And tonight I would, if any man would want to testify of their salvation, I'd love to hear that. I really love to hear men talk about how the Lord saved them, how they once were, and now who they are. I haven't seen it in quite a while. So if there's any men here that are members that want to give their testimony, I would encourage that. If not, we'll ask my dad if he would lead us in a word of prayer.